joy to be here with you folks this morning. We are excited, as I told the Sunday school crowd, that it's always good to be here, especially because this is basically home for us. As I say, I grew up in Phillipsburg, the big metropolis of Phillipsburg, so it's always a highlight to be here in First Baptist in Clearfield. But we are thankful, as I said, we're thankful for this church. You folks have always been a blessing to us, and I told the crowd this morning that it's probably about our 20-year anniversary with you guys. So that is a blessing. And I think mere words cannot tell you our thankfulness to know that you are prayerfully, you're praying for us, you're faithfully supporting us is just godsend. We're thankful that that you're on our team because you're part of our team. And so, just a quick update, a couple things that are going on. We hope that we got back in July, and we've been traveling around basically pretty much the East Coast, and we've been in New York, Pennsylvania, and North Carolina, and say one thing can sum it up is God's good. And he's been blessing everywhere we've went. And so I don't have time to share everything, how God's been good. But if after the service, you want to know how God's blessing, just ask us. But he's been so good to us. Lord willing, we have about $318 left to support to raise to get back. We started close to $1,200. So God has been blessing everywhere we go. Despite us, God has been blessing. So we're thankful for his goodness. And hopefully the end of February, we will ride back on Spanish soil. And I'm excited to be here. We always say that pretty much the one thing we miss when we're over in Spain is basically the people. And I can say that's pretty much the one thing we miss when we're here is the people in Spain. So we're just been blessed, and can't wait to get back. Our church to celebrate our 7th year anniversary there, and we're looking forward to getting back and hopefully get the church to become independent. But we need prayer. We need a national pastor, and God's doing some good things. As we told the crowd this morning, this is the most open we've seen the people towards the gospel, despite of the COVID. And I think COVID has caused fear, and the people are searching, and they realize that that they don't have the answers, and they're looking. So be in prayer that God will continue to keep them open, that they will God would use this so that many precious Spaniards will come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. But thank you for all you do for us. I heard a story of a woman that she went to court, and she told the judge that she wanted a divorce. The judge says, "Do you have any grounds?" "Just 2 acres," she replied. "That's not it, lady. I mean, do you have a grudge?" "No. We parked the car in front of the house." By now, the judge was frustrated. It says, "Lady, does your husband beat you up?" She says, "No. I get up before he does every morning." The judge, now not knowing what to say, says, "Then why, lady, why? Do you want a divorce?" "Because," she says, "we just don't seem to be able to communicate." Trickling effect, right? Some of you are getting it now, huh? Why do we do what we do? The why is a pretty important question, isn't it? If you're here this morning and you're parents, you know that you did not have to teach your children to ask the why question, did you? That's probably one of the first words that they learn, isn't it? Why do I got to do this? Why do I have to do that? Why do I have to take out the trash? Why are we going here? Children want to know why. Teenagers want to know why. Adults definitely want to know why. Even missionary adults want to know, why do we do what we do? What motivates you here this morning? I believe that finding our why moves us into action. In the Bible, why did a group of fishermen leave their jobs and their lifestyles to follow Jesus? Why? Why did these men give their lives to serve Jesus? Even though they were crucified, stoned, stabbed, dragged, skinned, and burned, every apostle of Jesus proclaimed the resurrection until their dying breath. Why? I truly believe that they really understood who Jesus was, the Son of God. Their love for Him flowed out of everything that they did. Jesus was their why. He was their motivation, and He was the reason that they faithfully served Him until their death. This morning I want to suggest to you three reasons why we need to be passionate about Christ. If you brought your Bibles, I encourage you to turn to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1. We're going to look at just three simple verses, Acts 1, 6 through 8. Acts 1, 6 through 8. The setting of these verses take place at the Mount of Olives, which is located just outside of Jerusalem. Key theme of this book is the expansion of the church worldwide, and the key verse is Acts 1, 8. And of course, the author is Luke, well, Dr. Luke. If you only catch one thing that I say this morning, catch this one thought, that Christ's heart beats for all mankind. Christ's heart beats for all mankind. Acts 1, verses 6 through 8 says, "When they therefore were come together, they asked Him, saying, Lord, wilt Thou at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And He said unto them, It is not the reason for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in His own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, and all Judea, and in Samaria, and into the uttermost part of the earth." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask now, Lord, that you'll hide me behind your word, and I ask that you would speak to us as only you can. Father, I thank you for this church, Lord. I thank you for what you're doing here, Lord. I thank you for Pastor Matt, Lord, and that you bless this church, giving them a leader like him. I ask, Lord, that you'll just use him in a tremendous way, Lord. Give him the wisdom necessary to make key decisions, Lord, to lead and to guide and direct this precious flock, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you'll help them to be salt and light in this community. I pray now, Lord, that as we have just a few moments together, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'll just speak to us, challenge us anew, and help us to be passionate about serving you. Father, we love you, and I thank you for first loving us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As believers, Jesus is our why. He's the reason we do what we do. He's our motivation. And He's the one that our passion needs to come from. And since our Heavenly Father, since Jesus Himself has a heartbeat for the whole world, has a heartbeat for mankind, I want to encourage you this morning that you as well, I as well need to have that same heartbeat. The first thing that we need to be passionate about this morning is the promise of His power. I'd mentioned this morning in Sunday school about that one of the things that our church is doing that is God has been blessing mightily is by our various summer camps. And specifically, we're doing basketball camps. We've been doing basketball camps the last 4 years in Spain, and they've been really growing. And we got down last year we couldn't do camp with COVID, but the year before we were getting ready to do our fourth camp, and we were about 2 months out. I had secured the facility, the gym where we were going to do the camp, had all preparations necessary, said God is blessing. We were expecting 80-plus kids, and 2 months before that date, I got an email from one of the churches in Ohio that was going to come and help us with the camp. They were going to actually lead the camp. And the pastor said they have problems in the church and they can't come. can imagine where the stress factor was for me up here. I'm thinking, what am I going to do? What are we going to do? Should be panic, worry, fear. What's going to happen with our camp? So after praying about it, I sent an email to the fellow that led our camp the year before from Ohio, and just told him the situation. I asked him, hey, do you know anybody that could come and help us lead our camp? He says he's got a lot of contacts. He'll send out an email to all his friends, and we'll see what God does. About a week later, I got an email from the fellow saying he's got several young men that are interested in coming, but he told me that he himself was going to come. He said he gave me his word. He said, I promise you, I'll be there and I'll help. Once I got his promise, I knew that I need not worry. His promise gave me security. In Acts 1 here, we're going to look at another promise. This speaks of another promise. And in verse 8 specifically, it says, but ye shall receive power. The first thing that we need to be passionate about this morning is the promise of God's power. Think about it. As believers here this morning, you and I get to be part of something great. We get to take the good news of the gospel, share it to those that are lost, to snatch them out of a life of darkness into eternal light. And that all is dependent upon the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit. But before we dive into that too much, let's look in verses 6 and 7. We're going to see the preoccupation of his disciples. Verse 1, 6 says, they asked to him, or in other words, they were asking him. In the Greek, this verb is in the imperfect tense, which speaks of an action that's happened in the past that is now carrying on until the present. Apparently, they had been asking this question many times. The disciples had asked several times, hey, is this the time that you're finally going to come home and set up the kingdom here? So obviously, they were preoccupied. They were obviously worried about when God was going to do that. But even though they had many questions, this should not have been their main concern. Jesus had to comfort them and told them, hey, there's something else you need to do right now that you need to be more worried about. And that was to share basically the great commission. But Jesus' announcement of the Spirit's coming makes the apostles think that, hey, the restoration of Israel has finally come. In explaining their mission to them, Jesus basically clarifies the calendar of the disciples who still needed instruction about God's plan. So God doesn't answer their question in verse 6, but verse 8, he tells them, hey, this is what your mission is, to share the good news. Secondly, Jesus talks about not only were the disciples preoccupied, but he shared with them about what is the power of the Holy Spirit. We got back on furlough July 20th. We arrived, we flew into Newark, New Jersey, and we knew that we were going to have to drive now to New York where we planned to start our furlough. And we get to start our furlough, we knew the first thing we had to do was to quarantine. I said, yeah, woohoo, quarantine, yeah, all excited. We had just basically done 100 days of quarantine in Spain. And we flew back here knowing we get to do another 2 weeks. Praise the Lord, right? Can't wait. So we flew in there. We flew into, Newark, drove to New York. We stayed at a missions house in New York, just outside of, near Old Ann, New York. And the missions house was where Jody's parents actually go to church. And the church did a great job, gave us their home. That gave us the mission house and set it all up so it could be like a home for us. And we started out with the 2 weeks of quarantine. We thought we can do this. We've basically done 100 days. We can do 2 weeks, be a piece of cake, we thought. So I asked the question, what can be worse than doing 2 weeks of quarantine? You know what? Should not have asked that question. 4 weeks would be worse. You know what's worse than doing 2 weeks of quarantine? Is doing quarantine without power. P- Power is pretty important, isn't it? Luckily, we didn't have to do the whole 2 weeks without power, but in the first week during the afternoons, the power company came and they were fixing the pools, and they knocked out our afternoons without power. For us as adults, it was difficult to live without power. We could survive. But at that time, we had our youngest son, who likes to play on the computers, likes to be on his cell phone. And being without power for him was tough, really difficult. Because power is so important to everything we do. And being in quarantine, we couldn't leave the premises. We had to stay. We couldn't escape in the property and go to some place that had power. No, we were stuck there. We had to endure it. But as important as power is to us here this morning, it's even more important in the area of Christian living, in the area of specifically in witnessing. Because we are dependent upon the power of the Holy Spirit to work in the hearts of others, to those around us, to see any results. Without the power of the Holy Spirit, we are useless. Acts 1:8 says, "But ye shall receive power." Notice that the coming of the Holy Spirit is linked to power and witness. And the book of Acts is about witness. This theme, we don't have time to share all the verses, but the theme dominates the book from Acts 1:8 all the way up till Acts chapter 26:16. And the church has been given her assignment to be witnesses to the gospel of Christ. The apostles were witnesses of Jesus' life and teaching, and now they're to be witnesses about his life and teaching. Think about it. An effective witness can only occur by the means of the Spirit's power. The Greek word for power is dunamin, and it has the idea of to enable. The disciples, and this disciples needed this power to enable them to grapple the task of witnessing. They were getting ready to do the Great Commission. In order to do that, they needed to be empowered by the Holy Spirit to accomplish this great task. Because without the power of the Holy Spirit, they were weak and ineffective. Now, I want to challenge us here this morning, remind us this morning, that you and I as well, without the power of the Holy Spirit, we are weak and ineffective. His power is absolutely essential for us to bear fruit in our ministries. Charles Spurgeon said this. He says, "Without the Spirit of God, we can do nothing. We are ships without the wind, branches without sap, and like coals without fire." We're useless. So here's the main point I think Jesus was trying to teach us here, is that special power is essential for accomplishing God's global task. The reason I say that power is essential for witness is because both here in Acts 1 and Luke 24, Jesus tells them, hey, first the power must come, and then you are to go. Power comes first, then you go. Up until the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit's ministry was different. Back then, the Holy Spirit would come upon someone, and then they would do some extraordinary feat or accomplish some extraordinary task. But now, since the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came upon them, the Holy Spirit came upon them and indwelt them. If they were true believers, the Holy Spirit indwelt them, and now they have Him living in them. If you're here this morning, you know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, you're in that same boat. At the moment of salvation, the Holy Spirit comes in you and indwells you, and we have access to Him 24/7. And we have that access to that power that enables us to share the good news. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20 talk about the Holy Spirit indwelling us. How much greater and more important is for you and I today to be empowered by the Holy Spirit to share the glorious message of God's news, good news of salvation. The power of the Holy Spirit is given to us primarily for us to proclaim the gospel. The filling of the Spirit leads us to proclamation. And if you and I here swear are going to persuade men, then we must be Spirit-filled. Matthew 28:19-20, Jesus emphasized His power and authority. Jesus said, "All authority has been given to me, therefore you go. The implication is clear. As we go with His message, you and I will have His power. Acts 1:8 says, "Ye shall receive power from when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses to me." Now, you know what, this morning, I think this gives us great comfort. I can be up here, I can preach a word, or I can read some scripture, or whatever. But it doesn't depend upon me, it depends upon the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has a way of using maybe a verse I say, or a thought that I share, and uses that to change lives. It's in this Spirit-anointed word that we're promised that God's word doesn't return void. We have the promise of His power. So the first thing we need to be passionate about this morning is the promise of God's power. And secondly, we need to be excited about is being able to participate in His plan. Last year, our missionaries went to a conference, and every 3 years, ABW missionaries are required to attend a conference. So, and we always go during the week of Thanksgiving. So last year we went to the island of Malta. Anybody ever been to Malta here this morning? It's one person. It was my wife. It's the other one. But it's not as big as it sounds, because if you're in Europe, it's you can travel relatively cheap. But we went to this conference, and it's a time of refreshment for missionaries, time of teaching and training and instruction. But during the day and evenings, you have different sessions. But on Thursday that week, they gave us like 4 or 5 hours in the afternoon free time. And we could do, as missionaries, whatever we wanted to. So our ABW Spain team thought, there's an island here where the Apostle Paul was shipwrecked. So we thought, wouldn't it be cool for us to go to this island and maybe to walk around and maybe kind of see what Paul saw. So we decided we did that. We took a ferry over to the island, just a small island, walked around it. But thinking about it, we were thinking, isn't it pretty neat to be able to experience, be able to participate in something that the Apostle Paul did? And that was a pretty wonderful, great experience, a memory that we're able to hold on to. But being able to participate in that, in a lot of ways, it can be life-changing. But you know what, here this morning, you and I get to participate in something even greater. We get to participate in God's plan of taking His good news and sharing that with those around us. But not only should we be passionate about the promise of God's power, but we need to be passionate about the chance to participate in His plan. When the kingdom comes should not have been the main preoccupation, the main concern of his disciples. But what they do in the meantime should have been. As Christians, it's easy for you and I to grow comfortable in our gated communities when we have a lost and dying world outside needing to hear the good news. Someone once said that the gospel isn't something that we come to church to hear, but it's something we go from church to tell. If you think about this morning, you and I get to be part of something great. We get to participate with the King of Kings, the Creator of the universe. What higher calling can there be? Look at what His plan is in verse 8. In verse 8 says, "And ye shall be witnesses unto me." Our English word "martyr" comes from the Greek word translated "witness," and many of God's people have sealed their fate by laying down their lives. Has anyone here ever been a witness in a court case before? Anyone? No one? Well, a couple of you have. Okay. What does a judge want to know? The judge isn't interested in our opinions, our theories, our prejudice, our guesses, our ideas. The only thing they care about is what you know, not what you think. They ask, what did you see and what did you hear? The disciples were to be witnesses for Jesus. A witness is someone who tells what he has seen and heard. Think about it. The disciples lived with Jesus, walked with Jesus, served with Jesus, ate with Jesus. They saw Jesus perform miracles. They saw Jesus nailed to the cross. They saw Jesus taken down from the cross. Saw Jesus buried. And then saw Jesus rise again. They saw his resurrection. Who greater to be a witness than the disciples? An eyewitness, a firsthand witness. Who greater to take the good news of the gospel and share that wonderful truth? Their experience enabled them to directly testify what God had done. If you're here this morning, and you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior, and if God has changed your lives, snatched you out of eternal darkness to eternal light, every one of you, if you can say yes to that, has a testimony of how God has changed your life. What you were before you came to know Christ, to the change that took place in what you are now. That's your testimony. And you know what? No one can take away your testimony. Your testimony is unique to you. They can't say, hey, that didn't happen to you. There's no way that happened. This is your testimony. And we have that good news. We have that change in our lives. And we need to take that and share that. Because we are witnesses of what God has done in our lives. We need to take that and share that good news to those around us. Mark 16:15 says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That was his plan back then. And that's still his plan for us here today. His plan hasn't changed. God's heart beats for all mankind. What are you passionate about here this morning? Not only should we be passionate about the promise of his power, excited about the chance to participate in his plan, but lastly, we need to be burdened about the places he wants us to proclaim. About, let's say, maybe 8-9 years ago, we as ABW missionaries went to Madrid, and we met with a group called Decision that works in Madrid. And their task is as a mission to take statistics, to study where churches are at, and where churches, what areas of Spain need churches. So we went with us. We were already, all of us that went, the three of us that went, were already involved in different church plants. But we were wondering about, we were pondering about, where might we plant a new church in the future? So we're trying to think kind of long term. So we went there and sat down with a fellow named John Blake, and he shared with us about, you know, places that had already had churches, places that were in great need. And he talked about a place that was in Madrid. He says it's about 25 minutes southeast of Madrid, and it has about 7 towns that have no gospel preaching witness. There's no evangelical church there. And as you hear this, in towns of over 10,000 people, there's at least 7. There's many places in Spain like that, but there's at least 7 together without a gospel preaching witness. And that breaks your heart. Or it should. When you hear of needs around you here this morning, I want to ask you, does it break your heart? God's heart beats for all mankind, and so should ours. Our church, this past October, celebrated our 7th-year anniversary. And you know where it's located? It's located in that area. God changed our plans about 8 years ago, shut down our work, forced us to find a new location. And because of that burden for that area, we moved to that location. And now we have a church there. So the question is here this morning, where does God want you to proclaim his message? Matthew 28 says, to teach all nations, but notice the words all nations tells us it's a global task. Christ wants us to reach the world, and it takes the church to do that. Acts 1:8 says, "And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and into the uttermost parts of the earth." And I want to ask you this morning, how are we doing? How are we doing with that task? When I was a kid, we used to like to go to a pond. And we'd often, you'd see a picture of a pond, nice still water everywhere. And as a kid, you like to pick up a stone, a pebble, and you just like to drop it into the stone, into the pond, and it hits the pond and goes into the water. And what happens after that? What takes place? A ripple. It's a ripple effect, isn't it? Still water, pebble hits, and it spreads. That's how our witnessing should be. It starts at home and then spreads out. No matter where we live as Christians, we should begin our witness at home and then extend to all the world. Dr. Oswald J. Smith used to say, "The light that shines the farthest will shine the brightest at home." How are we doing here this morning? Moms and dads, men and women, grandparents, how are we doing? How are we doing with our neighborhood here in Clearfield? How are we doing in our schools? Young people, how are you doing in the hallways, at your high schools, the universities? How are we doing? How is our light shining there with our family, in our neighborhoods? How's your light shining? Is our light shining at all? In conclusion, how can we put all this together? Perhaps you're here this morning and God's been working in your heart, perhaps even to be a missionary. You want to let your light shine very far. If that's you here this morning, I want to encourage you, talk to Pastor Matt. Tell him, hey, God's been working in my heart maybe for some time, maybe just recently. Talk to him. Share what God has placed upon you. Share the burden he's given you and ask him, what is my next step? What do I need to do now? Perhaps you're here this morning, maybe God doesn't want you to be a missionary overseas or afar, but he still burdened your heart to do something where you're at now. Once again, talk to Pastor Matt. Say God's been burdened my heart. Where is First Baptist involved in missions? What can I do here to get involved? I believe is the people that God calls into missions are the ones with busy hands. So I want to challenge you here this morning, get your hands busy. Be busy serving the Lord at home and then praying, and perhaps God could even call you to go afar. Discover how First Baptist is involved in missions and get in there, jump in. This passage talks about, it's this ascension passage where Jesus goes off to heaven. And he's telling them as he's going off, he tells them, in the same manner, I'm going to return. And if you can imagine the disciples seeing this take place, hearing these words from Jesus, how much that motivated them, how much that moved them to carry out the great task of the Great Commission. I'm sure that changed them, gave them a tremendous testimony, and gave them the push they needed to take the good news to the lost around them. But you know what? Jesus still hasn't returned. But he's coming. His return is imminent. We don't know when he's going to come, But we do know that the truth from God's word that he's coming. And I want to encourage you here this morning, remind you of that truth from God's word. And that should motivate us. That should be our why. That should move us to take the good news to the lost around us. Who do you know this morning that needs Jesus? But if I went around, every one of you this morning could give me a name or many names of friends, family, neighbors, co-workers that need to know the Lord as their personal Savior. He's our why. Tell them what God has done in your life. Perhaps you're here this morning, you're the one that needs the good news. You're the one that needs to receive that message. I would imagine a crowd this size, there's perhaps very likely one or two of you that still doesn't know where you're going to spend eternity. And if that's you here this morning, I would encourage you, I want to challenge you, talk to one of us. Talk to Pastor Matt. Pull him aside after service and tell him, hey, that's me. I need to receive the good news. I need to receive the gift of salvation. God's heart beats for all mankind. And so should yours. We need to be passionate about the promise of his power. Excited about to participate in his plan. And to be motivated to get out there to serve where God is, the place where he's given you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word, for the truth of your word. I thank you for the good news of the gospel, how it saves us. I thank you for Jesus, what he did to take our place, to die on the cross, to take our suffering so we wouldn't have to. And I thank you for the free gift of salvation. And I thank you that we can know beyond a shadow of a doubt, we can have the eternal security that one day we will be with you for all of eternity. And I pray for those people here this morning, Lord, that know that wonderful truth, that they have received the free gift of salvation and know where they're going to spend eternity. And I pray that you'll be their why, that you'll motivate them to take that precious good news, the gospel, to those around them. And I pray, Lord, perhaps if there's someone here this morning that still doesn't know you as a personal Savior, to see the need, to see the void, to see the emptiness that only you can fill. Father, as we close now, Lord, I ask, Lord, that you'll be glorified in us, not only today, Lord, but in the days ahead.